presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, here's a story that happened recently in Chicago. It's about airliners and horses. It seems that one night a plane was taxiing out to take off when suddenly the pilot looked down the runway and saw a horse calmly grazing along the edge of his takeoff strip. The horse, not Sequoia, wouldn't budge, so the pilot told the control tower that he'd have to sit it out until the horse was removed. Well, a few minutes later, the horse took matters into his own hands, gave up the first runway, and trotted over to the next one. Well, right at this time, another plane was preparing to land on the second runway. With the horse now encamped on that strip, the control tower hurriedly told the pilot of the incoming ship to circle until the situation got straightened out. And from there on in, the horse really began to make things interesting for the airport control gang. It trotted around from one runway to another, and within a few minutes, all traffic at the Chicago Municipal Airport was tied up. Planes on the ground stayed there. Planes in the air kept circling. Finally, someone put in a rush call for the police. They arrived on the spot in a jiffy, equipped with searchlights, lassos, and other equipment they thought was necessary. Then the chase began. The police, attendants, cargo handlers, almost everyone at the field started running after the stubborn animal. But the horse kept out of the hands of his pursuers in spite of all they could do. Well, finally, he got tired of running around the airport and ran off into the darkness. For 15 minutes, all those modern planes were held up by one lone horse. Just goes to show, gang, even though we're in a modern age, we still can't forget about poor old horses. I'll be back later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. As dusk begins to deepen into night, two planes roar high over the shadowy rangeland of eastern California, and their flight marks the end of another dangerous adventure for Hop and Tank. For now, Tex Regan and Joe Bell are dead. In the lead plane, a reconverted C-47 transport, Hop is returning the wonder horse, Sequoia, to his rightful owner, movie star Dixie Davenport. The young pilot talks by radio to his mechanic pal, who is flying their beach craft.
Everything all right, Tank?
Yeah, nice and smooth, except when I get too close to your prop wash.
Well, keep your distance.
I am. How's Sequoia?
Oh, behaving beautifully. That horse flies better than a lot of people I know.
Yeah, I'll bet. We ain't far from the location camp now, are we?
Another 5 minutes or so. Start letting down, and don't follow too closely.
Easing the control column forward, Hop lowers the nose of his twin-engine ship and begins a gentle descent. Tank, a quarter of a mile behind, follows suit. Both boys are completely unaware that another plane is flying high above and some distance behind them, a plane without any identifiable markings other than its registration number. Its pilot checks Hop's course carefully, then holding a microphone close to his lips, reports to some unknown receiver.
Eagle from Area 5. Eagle from Area 5. Have located aircraft believed to be owned by Hop Harrigan and Tang Tika. Holding course 50. Altitude 7,000 feet. Descending. Possible landing soon. Over.
The reply is equally mysterious.
Area 5 from Eagle. Orders are to continue pursuit. Spot exact landing and then report again. Eagle, over and out.
5 minutes later, true to his prediction, Hop circles low over the motion picture location camp, and when the floodlights are switched on, both ships curl in for a smooth, easy landing. Then the boys report to Ivan Ivanov's quarters, where they're surprised to find Dixie Davenport.
I just couldn't take the hospital any longer, Hop. I made them let me go.
You sure it's okay?
Oh, of course, Tank. I feel fine. This wheelchair is much better than a hospital bed.
So, it is the best thing for Dixie, darling. Ivanov is excellent nurse.
But, Hop, where have you been? We were awfully worried about you.
Oh, we were cleaning up some unfinished business.
Yeah, cleaning up is right.
Tex and Joe?
Yes. Mr. Ivanov?
Yes?
I suggest you call the police. Tell them to get over to the valley. They'll find Tex and Joe there.
And tell them they don't have to hurry.
Hop, what about Sequoia? You promised you'd bring him back to me.
He's in his corral, Dixie, polishing off a big dinner right now.
Oh, Hop,
which reminds me.
Later, Tank. Later.
Please, to tell me what happened quickly.
Well, when we left you this afternoon, Tex and Joe weren't at the bank, so we figured they might go back to the valley to catch Sequoia. Well, you beat it over there.
And? Come, Mr. Harrigan, don't keep me on tender, Hicks.
They were there, all right. We landed, went after them, and... that was that.
You had a fight?
Not much, doggone it. You know what that rat Tex did? He shot Joe in the back, too.
Oh, no.
So, how did you catch Mr. Texas Regan?
Well, we didn't exactly catch him. He couldn't get out of the way of a stampeding herd of wild horses.
Hey, you ain't telling them the best part. The horses was coming our way first. I thought we was finished for sure. Then all of a sudden, Sequoia shows up, makes the lead horse turn off, and bang, no more Tex.
Oh, how awful.
So, everything is finished now, yes?
I'll say.
Good. Then we go to work.
Work?
Mr. Tinker, you forget the picture.
There's not much more to do, Tank. And Yvonne is using all the footage Scotty McSwain shot, too. It's wonderful.
Wonderful? Dixie, it is sensational. Ivanov has never directed such excitement.
Yes, but what else is there for us to do, sir?
There is one thing, Mr. Harrigan, which we did not finish this afternoon.
Oh, no, you don't. I ain't going
to
sing.
Mr. Tinker, you will sing if I have to put the music down your throat with my bare hands.
Oh, Pop. Dixie, help me, will you?
I can't do anything, pal.
Oh, go on, Tank. It'll be very funny.
Says, when am I a comedian? Get Bob Hope if you want to be funny.
Enough, Mr. Tinker. Ivanov has spoken. And when Ivanov has spoken, he has... Do you wish to break down the door, Sir Tommy?
Mr. Ivanov.
Mr. Peabody, how many times must I tell you not to interrupt me when I'm speaking?
I'm very sorry, sir.
So, do not stand there. What do you want?
There's a man here, sir.
No casting today.
But he wants to see Mr. Harrigan, sir.
Me? Who is it?
Well, I don't know, sir.
Mr. Harrigan is very busy. Tell him to come back next year.
Oh, very well, sir.
Sorry, I've got to see Harrigan.
Oh,
now.
Just a minute, please. You can't come in here. Oh, dear.
I am in here.
Hey, what is this?
Search me.
You, what is your business?
Joel Harrigan.
That's right.
I'll have to ask you to come with me, please.
What?
And who are you that Mr. Harrigan should go?
This envelope contains your orders, Harrigan.
Hey, what kind of merry-go-round is this?
Hop, I don't understand.
I don't either. Excuse me, will you?
Read it, Hop.
The orders are confidential, Harrigan.
Oh, of course.
Will somebody please be so kind as to tell me what is happening?
Please, Ivan, your blood pressure.
Pull at my blood press. I try to make picture and the greatest spectacle on horses ever put on a screen, and he interrupts me?
Well, what is it, Hop?
Frankly, I still don't know, Tom.
I suggest you follow these orders to the letter, Harrigan.
Who are you? Who sent you?
You'll find out later. Are you ready? Time is of the utmost importance.
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Ready for what, for Pete's sake?
Go on over to our tent and pack our stuff, Tank. We're leaving. At once.
His face a blank mask, Hop snaps out an order, which leaves his mechanic pal utterly bewildered. Even Ivan Ivanov is speechless. Who is this man, and why does Hop agree to leave so readily? We'll learn more in a moment, gang, so stand by. Say, gang, a few minutes ago, I told you about a horse that held up traffic in and out of Chicago's municipal airport for 15 long minutes. And from horses, I'm going to switch over to flies. For many, many years, men have wondered, just how does a fly fly? What keeps him up? How can he fly so fast? Well, those are only a few of the questions that have kept people scratching their heads, and it took a modern invention to answer some of the mysteries about flies. But even with the most up-to-date equipment, scientists can't answer all the questions. A few weeks ago, the Sperry Gyroscope Company and the New York Museum of Natural History used a super-speed camera to find out how a fly flies. The camera takes 3,000 pictures every second. The pictures were developed and run off in slow motion. They showed that a fly beats his wings 300 times a second, first on one side and then on the other, just like paddling a canoe with one oar. First you have to row on one side and then on the other. Further, the movies showed how a fly keeps his balance. Scientists saw the fly operate a pair of beating rods that move in the same rhythm as the wings, but in opposite directions. So now, science has shown us how a fly stays in the air. But there's still one question which is unanswered. Even with that high-speed movie camera, no one knows how a fly turns upside down to land on the ceiling. But at least science has found out how winged insects fly. Science and engineering skill have done a lot for flying aircraft in this country since 1903. The great future in which aviation will play a big part is still ahead of us. If any of you want to take your place next to the flyers and technicians of tomorrow, get ready now. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. An hour has passed since the sudden appearance on location of a mysterious stranger and Hop's unexplained acceptance of the sealed orders delivered to him. We find the boys in the Beechcraft flying southeastward, angling away from the setting sun. Tank is grumbling as usual.
A guy comes up to you, a guy you don't know from Adam. He gives you a hunk of paper and bang, just like that, you decide we're going to go kiting off someplace. Not only that, you don't even know where that someplace is.
We'll find out soon. We have to wait for radio contact.
From who? Who's going to call us?
Someone using the code identification of Eagle. I told you that.
Sure you did, but I still don't know from nothing. What's Eagle?
I'll cut it out, Tank. I'm getting awfully tired of your questions.
Sure you are, because you can't answer them. Fine thing. We leave Dixie flat. We leave Ivanov flat.
We did not. Ivanov really didn't need that scene. Or would you like to go back and sing for him?
Well...
Okay, dry up.
Beechcraft NC-82043 from Eagle. Beechcraft NC-82043 from Eagle. Acknowledge. Over.
Eagle from Beechcraft NC-82043. Go ahead. Over.
Beechcraft from Eagle. You are approaching Tulsa. You will land at the municipal airport and report to Hangar 3. That is all. Acknowledge. Over.
That's all?
Land at Tulsa, report to Hangar 3. Wilco, over.
Eagle, out.
Hey, get him back.
What for?
Don't you want to know why we should land at Tulsa and who we're going to report to?
Tank, we'll find out in 5 minutes. Now, will you please relax?
Oh, we're here. Hangar 3 in Tulsa. What now?
We wait.
For what? I thought we were supposed to report to somebody.
Yes, but hey, the hangar doors are opening.
Now, maybe we'll find out what goes.
Step it up, men.
Hangar crew's rolling out a paper cut.
Who cares? Where's the guy we're supposed to see?
Uh-oh. Someone's coming toward us.
Hop, Harrigan.
That's right.
Very good. You're right on time. Here are your orders. You'll take this cub from here.
A cub?
That's right. All right, boys, roll this beach into the hangar.
Hey, wait a minute. We ain't going to leave our ship here.
Oh, yes, sir, Tinker. Cub is warmed up and ready for flight. You'll take off immediately, Harrigan.
Oh, just a minute. We followed orders blindly so far, but can't you tell us
anything? I can't tell you anything. You'll have to continue to follow orders blindly. Now, please hurry. Time is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, that's what the other guy said.
Let's skip it, Tank. Come on.
Come on, are you nuts? I ain't budging until I know what's going on around here.
Okay, then. I'll have to go alone.
Oh, now, Hop, don't be like that.
Coming?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Shrugging his shoulders in complete defeat, Tank lumbers after Hop's trim figure and climbs into the back seat of the small 65-horsepower Cub. A few minutes later, they're at the head of the runway where Hop checks his mags, receives clearance from the tower, and as he eases the throttle forward for takeoff, turns to Tank.
Okay, pal. We're on our way.
Yeah, we sure are. We don't know where we're going, when we'll get there, and what we'll find. If you ask me, we're sticking our necks out so far, we're going to get them chopped off.
Gang, this is only the beginning of one of the weirdest adventures Hop and Tank have ever encountered. The mystery of the Wailing Witches. So whatever you do, don't miss the next episode. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.